Okay, so today's about anger. You were talking about patience, but we're talking about anger. There's three of us. I'm the firstborn. Then there's my sister, Kristen, and then there's my brother, Jason. Out of all three of us, who do you think made you the most angry? I won't even include mom in that because she was an angel.
She is an angel. That's difficult because...
I don't think so, but...
Because all of you annoyed me. And that's,
how did I... What was one thing that I ever did that would annoy you?
How about when we were eating dinner and I was leaning back on my chair and you decided to put a firecracker on the window behind me and set it off?
Okay, well, first of all, it was breakfast. It was Saturday. You were reading the paper, and I thought it was funny.
Well,
I know, it wasn't funny. It ripped a hole in the screen. I'm sorry about that.
It was annoying.
So I could see that that would be annoying.
It was annoying.
Is there anything else I've ever done that would you could say that would make you annoyed?
Well, you almost burned down the house with making a tent in the...
Inside the
house.
No, we made one of the tent. Other we things, were playing like we had an igloo and we set a fire in the tent, but it was against the house. We didn't really think it through.
That was probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
We have a lot of these experiences. My wife and I came home one evening from the conference and we came up our street and our house was right in front of the street and we looked and across...
There was a creative element on the lawn?
The entire lawn in the front. I'm talking about letters this big. Weed whacked into the lawn. That
creatively
I just
assembled.
Hours and dollars trying to fix so we had a nice lawn. And it said, Todd is great. In the middle of the lawn.
I know, but it was a joke. See how funny it was?
I honestly thought it was going to grow right back.
I apologize for that. If you had a lawn now, I would do something.
It was going to grow back in an hour?
It was like, well, no, you saw it was funny, and then like the next day, it would grow back. But I didn't realize it took like weeks to grow grass.
Yeah. Another time we were out on a conference.
We just laughed about that. Remember how much we laughed?
We came back, and I just seeded the lawn in the back about 2 weeks before, so it was just
springtime.
And
back in Jersey,
I went out back after I came home.
I don't know if we need to tell all these stories.
What in the world happened? There was this mud all the way around, like this in a circle.
It was a track, a motocross track.
There was no more grass. It was all torn up. It was a mess. So I came back in the house and I'm like, Todd, what in the world were you doing out there? They were racing my moped when I wasn't there.
I know, but doing donuts. I think Steve Conover came over, brought his over too, a couple friends. So really, technically, it wasn't all my moped or your moped. It was other contributors. It was fun. We just didn't realize once again that the grass seed doesn't come back as quickly. But let me ask you this on a serious note.
Oh, we're not done yet.
No. I gotta say something really quick because we only have so much time. But because you said, and you told a story before about the lawnmower and wanting to like thrash the lawnmower, but on a serious side, you did have an issue with anger, you said, when you were younger. Now, I don't necessarily remember some massive anger. Like, you didn't put your hands on us in an angry way, but you said you had an issue with anger.
Absolutely.
Before you became a Christian, and even once you became a Christian.
That's true. And what I mentioned in the little bit there was I had gotten so frustrated because I hated being angry, and then I also hated hurting myself when I was frustrated and hitting things. And I never hit a person. I have a filter for that. And I didn't really throw things. I had to get my anger out and punching something or hitting something. But I really was, after I gotten saved, I was like, you know, I'm saved now. I really shouldn't be doing this. I really should be better at handling this. And I just went to the Lord and I said, Lord, you got to help me. Because I just don't know what to do. And
let me ask you a question. Could you feel the anger? When you say anger, this is more than just like, oh, I'm just ticked off about something.
Oh, that's a good question, Todd. I could feel it. I could feel it rising up in my chest. It felt like a warm heat. And it would get to a point, and then I would just explode. So it wasn't just, well, I'm just frustrated. This really makes me angry. No, it wasn't like that. And subsequently, after God spoke to me about just praising Him and giving Him thanks for everything, I left the house and I was going back to work and proceeded to practically flatten my thumb with a hammer.
Why would you do that?
Well,
or was it an accident?
It was an accident.
Okay, that's good news.
And right at that in that moment, it was like I had a choice. And see, we do have a choice. We always have a choice.
Right.
We don't think we
don't think feel we like have, we have a choice.
But we do have a choice.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, we hear people say, "Well, make good choices." You don't have to learn to make good choices. Yeah. Well, that's true. But sometimes there's things in our lives that make it difficult for us to make those choices. But we have to start somewhere. And so, in order to get through that, you have to do something. It's a behavior. When something's a behavior, it means that you're doing something and behaving in a particular way. And so I had an opportunity at that time just to begin to thank the Lord and praise the Lord. So there were some praise songs that I, you know, listen to and you know when I'm around my head. And so I just started humming those, you know, and singing them in my head and so forth. And, you know, well, I would like to say the pain went away, but it didn't really go away. No, I still had the pain, but I didn't have the anger. And so you can have the anger and maybe not feel the pain, or you can have the pain and not really feel the anger. And that's what the scripture gets to. Be angry and sin not. How can you be angry and don't sin?
Right.
Anger is nothing but a feeling.
Right.
Just like happiness or anything else that's a feeling. It's just a feeling. And feelings are neither right nor wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't, we've heard it said many times, oh, you shouldn't feel that way about this. Well, you can't help the way you feel. It's the way, it's what you do with that feeling.
Right.
That makes a difference.
Right.
And so when we learn, it's a learned behavior for many of us, and certainly was for me, and still is for me with some of the frustrations that I have. Sometimes I don't do well with it. But we have to just, what works for me is I may have to blow off a little steam, but then I just calm myself down, take a break, and then go from there. Oh, and as a tip, if you're in intense fellowship with your spouse and you're finding yourself at an impasse. I'm sorry?
Arguing? You mean arguing?
It could be called an argument. But intense fellowship is much...
It sounds nicer.
That's nicer.
Yeah, more Christianese.
Yeah, it's more... Yeah, we don't get angry with others, Christians. We just have intense fellowship.
Yeah.
And so we're in the midst of intense fellowship. The strategy is stop, hold hands, and begin to pray. Don't say things like, God, you're going to have to straighten out my wife. She is the most annoying piece on the face of the earth. No, we don't pray like that.
Even if it's true. Probably not the right moment for that.
Well, it may be true, and it may be a feeling. But the important thing is that we take a positive attitude and say, God, help me.
Right, right.
Lord, help me. Help me with this situation. Help me to see the truth in this situation. Help me to be able to receive from my spouse that which I need to hear, and help me to be able to hear that. We pray those kind of prayers. By the time you're finished praying, you would be surprised how much those things, you mm-hmm. may still have the contention, but it takes the anger out of it. It's patience is an anger killer. And once we lose our patience, it just feeds the anger. Once we stop in the middle of that, take a breath and pray, we go right back to the patience again.
Well, and I think too, along with that, it's, you know, scriptures talk about it as the fruit of the Spirit. So some of these things, you know, if we do, everybody struggles on some level with all this stuff. And so there's things like Ephesians 5 talks about love, joy, peace. you know, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness. Like, all these things are things that we can only acquire and walk out and see the fruit of with the Spirit of God, which once we're Christians, we have the Spirit of God. But there's a process to everything to grow. But I think the other thing is, like you said, one, you realize you have a problem. Two, you realize you have to do, you have to make some kind of changes. Whatever, you've got to just try something. But saying, oh, I'm just going to blow off steam, I'm just going to, this is just how I am, that's not good enough if you want to grow. It's not good enough if you want to be better. It's not good enough if you don't want to continue to have a blast zone to people around you. Because anger is never, this type of thing, never is an innocentless issue, right? Like, when it grows, it affects other people, whether it's kids or coworkers or clients, whatever. So, but the good news is there's a way through it. And you brought up some good points where that's concerned. So.
And I think God honors us when we're obedient to what he's calling us to do at that particular time. You know, we might have 10, 15 things in our lives that are just all messed up beyond, we feel beyond any help whatsoever. And God really begins to work on our hearts and said, listen, let's work on this anger thing, or let's work on this, whatever it is. And if we do that, if we're responsive to what God calls us to do, inevitably, not only will that be fixed, but five or six other things may be fixed right. that have nothing to do with the anger.
Right, right.
It's just an overflow blessing that happens when we get in tune, and it's like more people get in tune. It's like tuning up in an orchestra. You know, we got a lot of people that are out of tune and trying to function, and things just sounds terrible. But once we begin to tune up, and this one begins to tune up, and that one begins to tune up, and that's what God does. Like the conductor, he makes sure everybody's in tune and everybody's ready to go. And then what comes out is beautiful.
Right.
And I think that has a lot to do with what God wants for each and every one of us.
Right.
You know, we're not going to be good at everything.
Sure.
And over a period of time, we have to stay in our lane and not get off sidetracked. But more importantly, work on ourselves. There's always something we can do. God, examine my heart. Look, see me. See if there be a wicked way in me. See if there's pride in me. See if I'm arrogant. God, show me how not to be that way. Help me to learn humility. Lord, put me around people where I can see humility. Because you become like the people that surround you.
Right.
And if you look for good people, I mean, I was fortunate to have people in my life very early that were wonderful examples to me. And subsequently, a mentor that was very direct with me and helped me tremendously. And I mean, there's so many so many things we can talk about. But you know, if you want to be mentored, and you agree to be mentored, then it's up to you to go to the person that's mentoring you. It's not up to the person that mentors you to come to you. Because if you really want to learn, you go after that learning. If you're not willing to go after that learning, why would I waste my time talking to you? If you don't have enough courage and so forth to face some of those things.
Or drive.
Exactly. Yeah. Because you can't mentor anybody that really doesn't want to be mentored. And so many discipleship courses fail because it's not because of the mentor.
Right.
The mentee is not ready to be counseled to begin with.
Right. And well, let me say this because we got to wrap this up.
Okay.
But I would say that, you know, I'm grateful, you know, that you made the decisions that you made, Mom made the decisions that she made, that at least you zeroed in on certain things that you knew that could be problematic, not even problem or destructive if
Absolutely.
You didn't handle it. And
Absolutely.
Thank you for saying yes to God. Thank you for saying yes to following him. Thank you for saying yes to at least, you know, keeping my brother and sister around, even though they were difficult. I feel like once I came, it would have been very easy to just kind of let them be. But you you didn't stop there and you still poured into them. I could see why you wouldn't have wanted to.
We kept trying until we got one that was half.
Thank you.
Had some supplements.
But I'm grateful, but I love you so much. And hopefully you got something from this. And look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Love you, Todd.
Love you, too. Thanks, Dad.